being down here and seeing your lovely faces. I really want to share the goal this morning is simple. And it's one of opening our hearts and our minds so that we can continue to learn how to pay attention to God. Opening our hearts and minds so that we can continue to learn how to pay attention to God. Last week, we continued our learners series by talking about having a spirit of a lifelong learner. And we had Judy and Sandy come up and open our eyes and learn how to really learn about yourself, learn about God, learn about other people as we look at our journeys, our lives. So many times we can get stuck and we cannot learn because we're just simply not listening. We're not looking to learn. But when you take the time to journey with God and journey with others and journey with yourself, you can see the big story and you can get perspective. But we need to pay attention because we all suffer from ADD, spiritual ADD. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter if you're an elder, a deacon, an evangelist. We all suffer from spiritual ADD at times. We all get distracted. The apostles, they were with Jesus for 3 years and were around him every day and still suffered from spiritual ADD. Even they needed from time to time to pay attention and wake up, focus, and get perspective. Paying attention to God helps you to pay attention to yourself, helps you to understand yourself, helps you to understand others, helps you to understand your situation around you. Paying attention to God above all the chaos. How well do you pay attention? How well do you pay attention? How well do you heed? How well do you accept? How well do you take to heart? How well do you examine? How well do you observe and watch? How well do you inspect or revere? How well do you concentrate? How well do you take in? How well do you take note? How well do you pay attention? How well do you pay attention? First year students at medical school were receiving their first anatomy class with a real dead human body. They all gathered around a surgery table with the body covered with the white sheet. The professor started the class by telling them, in medicine, it is necessary to have two important qualities as a doctor. The first is that you not be disgusted by anything involving the human body. For example, the professor pulled back the sheet and stuck his finger in the mouth of the corpse, withdrew it, and sucked his finger in his mouth. Go ahead, he said, do the same thing. The students freaked out, hesitated for several minutes, but eventually took turns sticking a finger in the mouth of the dead body and sucking on their own finger. When everyone had finished, the professor looked at them and told them the second most important quality is observation. I stuck my middle finger and sucked on my index finger. Now learn to pay attention. And I made this a rated G version. I'll leave it at that. How well do you pay attention? How well do you pay attention? Do you deal with the distractions? Do you ask for clarification if you don't understand? Do you maintain eye contact? Do you impose a time limit so that you can focus and pay attention? Do you take a break and clear your mind? Do you vary up your routine? All these are paying attention elements that are key if we are to remain focused on God. When do you find it difficult, personally? When do you find it difficult to focus on God? When do you, let's have some sharing here. We're family, we're open. When do you find it difficult to focus on God? Yes, Rosemary. When there's a lot of chaos in your life. A lot of chaos, a lot of drama, as we always say. Yes. When you're hurting your own self, okay? In what way? Okay. Okay, so if you're physically hurting, it's tough to focus on God, okay? Absolutely. Yes.
I was just going to say, when things seem to be going really good, really well, things are going great.
Boy, when you're feeling blessed. I mean, that's when we should focus on God the most, right? Nope. Sometimes we lose focus, and we start focusing on the blessing more than the blesser, right? Yes.
When you get out of your routine, when you have a lot of family coming
together, when you have that Martha syndrome, right? Focus so much on the details, and we can miss the Lord. You mean when you're on vacation, you don't pull out your Bible and pray an extra 2 hours? Patty said no. Some of us do. Some of us get distracted. Yeah. Yes. When you put other things before God, okay? Yes. Hard to focus and be attentive to God. Yes. Somebody? Yes. In college? Yeah. Yeah, in college, I mean you're building your career, you're thinking about your career, thinking about your future. Yeah, peer pressure is tough. Any of you who have ever been a Christian in college? Now, some of you got baptized when you were, you know, adults, but in college, hey, take it from me, 18 years old, there was so much pressure, so many distractions, and it's tough to stay focused. Thank God I had brothers and sisters around me that we can encourage one another. Yes.
When my workload is heavy, I get very distracted.
When the workload is heavy. I love what Martin Luther said. I have so much to do today, I have to spend an extra 2 hours in prayer. That's a man who said he realized that, boy, the more he has to do, the more he has to pay attention. Powerful, but challenging. Yes.
I see someone being cruel and selfish.
Yeah, when you see some, he said, when you see somebody being cruel and selfish, and it impacts those that maybe can't fend for themselves, gets them distracted. Yes.
Yeah, when you're around certain people, your mind is not focused on God and their influence. They kind of influence what you think. They get distracted.
Yeah, maybe at the workplace they don't care about God. They're cursing and talking about each other, and we can get caught right up in it. And we can lose our focus. There's so many ways that the world and even our hearts can take our attention away from God. You know, for me, I grew up in Tallahassee. And in Tallahassee, we do things slowly. Slowly we step. Inch by, okay, anyway. Some of y'all didn't get that, but slow. We're kind of slow in Tallahassee. Oh, you know, amen. Nobody, don't rush. No pressure. And when pressure starts to hit, when things go so fast, and I'm overwhelmed, I can lose my attention. I can stop paying attention to God, and I can just get anxious. And one of my favorite scriptures, when I feel this way, and I can feel it coming on, is Philippians 4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. But in every situation, when it comes on, oh, Lord, I got to pray. When I feel it coming on, that's when I hit my knees. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and you got to be thankful for it. You can't say, Lord, I hate this thing, or I hate it, you know. No, be thankful. Find some thanksgiving in it. Present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding and will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Sometimes when life gets so fast, so chaotic, I need some understanding. And I need to go to God. And I need to ask God for that peace that brings my life together. Chaos breaks it up. Peace brings it together. That word means whole. It makes me whole. I find it difficult to pay attention to God when things are going great, like Heather said. When things are going great. Not a worry in the world. I got great friends. I got enough money in the bank account. Matter of fact, I got a raise. Things are going good. God is blessing. I got a promotion. I found that right girlfriend. I found that right boyfriend. I'm happy. I got a new car. Blessed. Maybe some of y'all haven't been there. Y'all looking at me like, I'm focused always. Proverbs 30, give me neither poverty, wisdom literature, give me neither poverty nor riches. What I believe this is saying is that you can't handle poverty. You can't handle riches. Speaking to some of us, if it fits. But give me only my daily bread. You know, that pains me at times. Because what that's saying is that give me only what I need. I don't want daily bread. I want the whole factory. I want the bread company. I want to have supplies. I just don't want the daily loaf or the bread or the slice. I want the whole thing. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? When we have too much, the money becomes Lord, the job becomes Lord, the second house or the mansion or whatever becomes, the kids become Lord. The hobby becomes Lord, or I may become poor and steal and dishonor God. So there has to be that godly balance. But it's tough because it really is about dependence. But dependence helps me to pay attention. Many of you know, my grandfather willed me a house. I didn't ask for it, didn't think about it, but he wanted me to have it. And that house, willing us that house, approximately, I don't know, 6 years ago, has brought so much angst, drama. It's costing us more, and honestly, it's not a blessing. It doesn't feel like a blessing. It feels more like a bowel movement. It stinks. It stinks. It smells. But what stinks and smells, God uses as fertilizer for my growth and my dependence. Just because it smells bad doesn't mean it's bad for you. What in your life smells bad that God is using as fertilizer for your growth? That's just me. When things are overwhelming, things are too good, sometimes I can lose my focus. What about when we feel wronged or taken advantage of, or hurt or wounded by someone? Woo, that's tough. You get wounded by somebody, who are you paying attention to? That person. God has left the building, he's left the city, he's left the state, he's left the country, he has left the universe. The only thing on your mind is that person who wronged you. I'm not pointing at you, Dave, for that. I'm just, you know. Laser focus. Some of us have grown up in families that's all they've paid attention to. For years, centuries, focused on the person who has done them wrong. Jesus, when I feel this way, and I don't like people to do me wrong, because back in the day, before I became a Christian, I would get you back. So I have to fight that temptation to get you back. And so Jesus... And I love what Vince said, are we learning, are we examining, are we following Jesus and being transformed by his life, the way that he led? Because we say we're Christians, we're ambassadors, well, react like him, following, do what he would do, feel what he would feel. That's what Christians do, that's who they are. Jesus said, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother and sister has something against you. So there is something when you approach the altar and you're thinking about God's forgiveness that it may spark a memory of, wait a minute, God has dropped all my sin and I'm holding on to this grudge. It's prompted something. I'm remembering something because of my worship. Leave your gift at the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. And then come and offer your, then worship. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Could you imagine if we brought, every single one of us, brought that mentality to communion every Sunday? Would that just change our weeks? Would that just glorify God in an amazing way? Christians, reconciling, apologizing, forgiving, getting rid of bitterness, because we get wounded every day by our children, by our spouses, cousins, bosses, co-workers. We get wounded. By the end of every communion, by the end of our time remembering what Jesus did for us, and how he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Wow. We changed this city. Every resolved issue, resolved. Unresolved issue, resolved. Be amazing. Imagine how our marriages would be. If every married couple in this church, before they took communion, resolved any issue. Some of us are at the marriage retreat now. Could you imagine? And sometimes it seems like we have bumps on the way to church. But could you imagine if every married couple decided that we're going to resolve matters quickly? Before communion, before the sun sets, you name it. I remember oftentimes reading this scripture in a wedding. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. He brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she is taken out of a man. You see, it's very difficult for me to pay attention to God when I have a bone to pick with Carlin. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't focus on God if I'm having bitterness and an unresolved situation toward her. Can't do it. Now, we can fake it. We can act like it. We can be hypocrites and religious and numb out. But the fact is, it's not really worship. I remember one time we were in a group called Colorblind that Steve and Deb led. And we had a special gig in Palm Beach. And we would go and do often, you know, different things. And I can't remember what the event was, but I know Dave was singing in it. And I know, and we sang this duet. And it was a duet that was very intimate and very special. And many of you probably remember the song, but it's "With You I'm Born Again." And that was a powerful song, but we were fighting the whole way up on that trip. I can't remember what the argument is about, but we were fighting and arguing, and then we had to get it together to sing this song that we didn't want to sing because we didn't feel like we were born again. And there was one lyric that says, "Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again?" And I mean, I sang it, but I was wanting to really say, "Woman, don't you know with you I'm dead again?" I didn't feel, and she felt the same way. I don't feel born again with this turkey. We had to work it out. And we did eventually, but during that song, that was the toughest song I'd ever sung in my life. Because I had to lie. And so did she. And look in the eyes. "Don't you know?" Well, you know, it's amazing. Have you ever found yourself asking God, "Why do you allow this to happen? Why have you not done anything yet? Why are you so slow in moving? Why did you have me in this family or this situation? Why?" It's very difficult to pay attention to God when you are charging God with wrongdoing, when you are charging God with neglect. Oh, I fall into that. I go, "God, why?" And so I can't pay attention if I'm charging God, if I have attitude with God. And it's fine to wrestle with God, and that's how we get there. And I'm not saying that we should never fall into doubt, because we do. We're human. But understand that sometimes the attention can be on God doing the wrong thing and charging him with neglect. And this is what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They paid attention to Satan more than they did God. Satan has one goal: deceive and distract. Deceive and distract. What he doesn't want you to pay attention to is him. Deceive and distract. It's Satan's goal. His greatest fear is your faith. His greatest fear is your faith. He wants to distract you, and he wants to deceive you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the entire world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. Sometimes we need to pay attention to what Satan's doing. He wants you to think he's out of the picture. He wants you to think that that person of flesh is the real issue. And it's not. It's not. And we know this as a church, that he wants us to focus on the hurt versus the healing. So, it's a tough endeavor to follow Jesus, to be transformed by him because of our relationship with him. Pay attention to Jesus. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews is a pay attention kind of letter. It's a pay attention kind of letter. As Christians, And followers of Jesus, we must pay attention and look up. We got to pay attention and look up. Look up. The Hebrew writer wanted them to stop looking to the prophets, to stop looking to the law. Stop looking. During this time, the temple was not destroyed, and they were still having temple sacrifices. And he wanted them to look higher and look at something that was so much more superior than anything they had seen before. And that was Jesus. Look up. Pay attention. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. There's so much here, we can't even touch it, really, with the time that we have. When we look up to Jesus, we see the radiance of God's glory. We see the exact representation of God's being. It's right here in the scriptures. If you want to pay attention to God, pay attention to Jesus. Focus on him. You know, when you focus on Jesus, the world becomes clear. Jesus brings clarity. So if you are confused and just dazed, look at Jesus. Focus on him. Read the book of Hebrews. That'll rekindle so much of your focus. We see the power of the word that sustains all things, even my doggone grandfather's house. He sustains all. It's in his hands. He wanted them to look at something that was much more superior, and that was Jesus. He was more powerful than the angels. Get their minds up, thinking higher and greater, because they were tempted to go back to the law because of persecution, because of drama, because of chaos, and to go back what they were familiar with. See, that's my struggle. When I go through hard times, I want to go back to what I'm comfortable with. And when I do that, I don't grow. Jesus is the conviction that he wanted them to have. Focusing on Jesus above my trials, my hurts, my lack of information, which leads to doubt, is the conviction I need to have. Bottom line, looking at Jesus, looking up to him, brings clarity. If we don't continue to look up, to look at Jesus as Lord, we begin to look inward. We start looking inward. Or we start looking outward but pointing fingers. And we start looking around and we start getting lost. And there's nothing wrong with looking out if it brings perspective, but sometimes looking out leads to drifting. We start drifting, and we're no longer anchored by Jesus. And so we need to pay attention and look up. We need to pay attention and look out. Look out. Hebrews 2, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received this just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Woo! There's so much for us to pay attention to so that we don't drift. So much. The Hebrew writer, we have landmarks that we can always look to find out where we are. Poor, during Hurricane Andrew, when we went down south and tried to help our brothers and sisters, we didn't know how to find their homes. There were no landmarks. It's amazing how we rely on landmarks. As Christians, if we're so distracted and we don't focus on the landmarks, before you know it, we'll find ourselves adrift. And we're doing things, saying things, feeling things that we never thought we would say, feel, or do. But that's why it's important to stay anchored. So he says, focus on the landmarks, our salvation. Focus on the deliverance, the preservation, the safety, being rescued from guilt and shame. As a Christian, you need to say, the greatest gift I've ever received was my forgiveness of sins. My salvation, I am saved, I am rescued, I'm forgiven, period. Anything else is a bonus. Anything else is a bonus. And if you don't understand that and set that as a landmark in your everyday life, you will drift. And then other things will be more precious than your salvation. Signs. He gives us salvation, gives us signs, indications, something that's authentic. Doing what no man can replicate or take credit for. God gives us signs in the Bible that no man can take credit for. Are you fueling your faith with those landmarks? What about wonders? Do you find wonders in the scriptures? You see signs and your salvation and wonders, things done to elicit a reaction from onlookers is what that word is all about. And an extraordinary event. Do you have those landmarks? Do you remind yourself of those landmarks, like water turned to wine? Him raising the dead, healing a leper, curing a disease, forgiving a prostitute, dying on the cross, being flogged, and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know. These are signs. They're wonders. Are you still in awe of God? Or have you drifted? What about the various miracles, diverse, marvelous acts, power only through the ability of God, and you see it, and you're reminded of it, and you go, boy, we got an awesome God. You can't do that if you don't read the Bible or listen to the Bible. If you're not reading the Bible, I tell you one thing, you're drifting. If you're not listening to the Bible, you're not being inspired by the Bible, you have drifted. Come on back. Get those signs, wonders, salvation, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, divine distribution of acts and counsel and comfort that you know only he can provide. No man can do it. No relationship can do it. No promotion can do it. No house can do it. Nothing. It's only the Holy Spirit. That's what he's here for. And sometimes when you have nobody else, you have the Holy Spirit. When nobody understands, he does. When nobody has these words of comfort that we get bitter over, somebody didn't say it right, the Holy Spirit saying it right. Who you listen to more? The Holy Spirit or your friend? The Holy Spirit or your spouse? The Holy Spirit or your parents? We're flawed individuals. The Holy Spirit's not flawed. If you listen to him, you won't drift. Some of us have drifted. And we're still hearing the words of the past. And you're stuck. And you know you're stuck. You got to bring the signs back. You got to think about your salvation. You got to think about the wonders. You got to think about how God wants to get our attention. It's so easy to drift. Pay attention to the landmarks. Get that compass handy. Locate your position and stop the drift. Lastly, pay attention and look down. You got to look up, you got to look out, and you got to look down. I'm not saying feel down, look down. Hebrews 2 and verse 5, it's not the angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. Now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Wow. The Creator is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed to call us friends. Friend, do what you came for. He's not ashamed to get on his knees and wash our feet, to get on the cross and wash our sins. Are you looking down to the one that stooped down to make us great? Are you grounded in the grace of God? Or are you too unique to be washed by his blood? If you have not made a decision to make Jesus Lord, there's something wrong. There's something holding you back. And we've all been there. We've all been there. It is challenging to put our faith in a God that loves unconditionally. Because everything else in this world, including our parents, have loved us with condition. And so when we see someone, a God, who loves us unconditionally, we go, it's too good to be true. I went through that, and I said, you know what? If it's too good to be true, I got to do some research. I got to pay attention to see if it is true. And the only way you do it, you got to do your work. You got to work on your faith. You got to work on your faith. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. They had a hard time with that. They didn't want him to do it. He said, if you don't let me do it, you don't have any place in my ministry. Are you allowing God to serve you? Are you allowing others to serve you? Or are you independent? You see, false gods, religion, wants the subjects to serve them. Our God says, I'm going to serve you. Because I want relationship more than I want religion. Is this the God that you're paying attention to? The one you can look up to and see him superior, creator, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient? Is this the one you're looking out for, seeing, sensitive to if you're drifting away and allowing these wonders and signs and all these blessings and salvation to bring you back and give you an anchor? And this is the one you look down and you go, God, I can't believe that you're willing to die for me. You know what I've done. You know how often I've done it. and I often I do it again, and yet you're willing to save me. And then if I'm a Christian, you're willing to save me again and again. I would be disappointed with myself by now. I would have pulled back my love. And he goes, yeah, I know. And that's why my ways are higher than your ways. That's why I'm God. So as we pray, I want you to ask yourself deeply, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Next week, we're going to talk about, are we paying attention to our life and our doctrine? Are we paying attention to our life, how we live, and our doctrine? Paul told Timothy to do that. And we need to do the same. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We pray that, Father, every day we would give our attention to you. We would serve you, worship you, love you. And Father, I pray that if those here this morning are doubting their relationship with you or having questions, that Father, right next to them in this building, we have those that can help, just like we were helped. Father, we want to pay attention so that we can be sure of our salvation. It's one thing we don't want to doubt. Father, thank you for giving us enough evidence so that we, Father, can see you clearly. I pray that everyone in this room would attempt to see you by faith so that, Father, we can love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you for the way, finally, that you pay attention to us. You know the hairs on our heads. You know our hurts. You know our trials. And Father, help us to know that you are with us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.